Well, it's Thanksgiving Sunday, and I don't want us to miss the fact that it's Thanksgiving. It's an action word. And you know, Thanksgiving isn't just something we talk about or something we listen to a sermon on or eat turkey dinner over. It's actually something that we're meant to do. And I think we've been doing some of that already today. And so the purpose of today is to express our thanks to God through our words and songs and through our actions as well. Psalm 92:1 says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. And so today's songs and prayers, the readings and the message are all designed to inspire us to actually do that, to give thanks. You know, we may enjoy the turkey and all the trimmings this weekend, but if we leave this place today without giving thanks, then we've missed Thanksgiving. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And if we are indeed the redeemed of the Lord, then we have something to say. You know, we have some thanks to offer to God. The Old Testament Hebrew word actually for thanksgiving actually means to make a public confession. It means telling others about our gratitude. Gratitude for what God has done, for what He's doing, and also for what He is going to do. So the message today is from Luke 17, if you have your Bibles. And it's meant to provide some focus here for our own expressions of thanksgiving today. So turn with me to Luke 17, 11 to 19. And it's a really familiar passage, but it's a wonderful story as well. So Luke 17, 11 to 19. It says, "On the way to Jerusalem, He, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered a village, He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving Him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, 'Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?' And He said to him, 'Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" Now, there's more to this story than meets the eye. I mean, it's not just teaching us that it's nice to say thank you or show gratitude to God. There's something more profound here in this story, because thanking God is more than just showing gratitude for some good things in our lives or some nice things that have happened to us. Thanksgiving is actually an act of faith. And so Jesus said to this thankful leper here, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Now, when we offer heartfelt thanks to God, what it does is it actually opens a door of faith to something greater that God wants to give us. And so a heart of thanksgiving is it's a window to our heart that God's love can shine through. And a thankful heart is a heart that God can really work with, because it's in tune with who He is and what He has done, and it lines up with His will. And so Jesus here enters a village and He meets some lepers, 10 wretched, forsaken, desperate men, all hopeless. There's no cure for leprosy. It meant certain death for them, but death just a little bit at a time, a hand, an ear, a foot, a nose, just gradually being eroded away, a horrible death. Leprosy was also known to be contagious. And so lepers were driven out from society. They couldn't associate with anybody except other lepers. And so they were helpless and they were hopeless. But you know, in that terrible condition they found themselves in, those 10 formed a fellowship. Apparently most of them were Jews, at least one was a Samaritan. But those distinctions didn't matter anymore for them. And that's the way it often works. Sometimes out of the greatest needs comes the greatest fellowship. Often people with common needs and common experience will unite together. And no matter where they're from or who they are, they'll form a mutual support group. And that's what happened here. Actually, that's how the church began. You know, those first believers that shared their need for Christ as well as their mutual experience of God's grace in their lives. And so they gathered together. And they became a fellowship. In fact, that's why we are here today in community with each other, because we recognize our need for a Savior. And we share the experience of grace in our lives. And it unites us together. So when these 10 lepers heard about Jesus and saw him approaching, I mean, that's when their hopes began to rise, you know, as they call out to him together. And it's true that in community, when we're together with others, it's easier to believe than if you're just on your own. Because our faith mutually encourages one another. So here in their fellowship together, their faith was strengthened. Enough so that they could begin to dream a little. They could begin to hope and to call out. And so in spite of their hopeless condition, they began to feel they had a chance to live. And they call out to Jesus, "Master, have mercy on us." And what they were doing here is they were praying the simplest but most profound and effective prayer that we can pray. Just a humble plea of desperation. Jesus, Master, have mercy. Do you ever pray a prayer like that? I do. I really pray that prayer sometimes. You know, when I feel I'm at the end of my rope or the end of my resources, when I feel I've failed or backslidden, if I've acted selfishly or my heart is convicted of sin, boy, I really pray that prayer. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know, sincerely prayed, that prayer is a simple and a humble cry that touches the heart of Jesus, like no other prayer. We actually see it in the next chapter of Luke when Jesus tells a parable. He tells a parable about a law-abiding Pharisee and a law-breaking tax collector. And both of them go up to the temple to pray, but it was the law-breaking tax collector's simple cry for mercy rather than the law-abiding Pharisee's recital of his own good deeds that was heard by God. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," cries the tax collector. And Jesus says, it was that man that went home justified, forgiven and approved by God. Well, these 10 lepers knew that no one's ever healed from leprosy. It never happened. And everyone who saw them would agree, they're going to die a horrible death. And they didn't even want them around. But these men prayed a desperate prayer of faith here. And Jesus heard their cry and he simply said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." He didn't tell them they were healed. He said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And legally, it was only the Jewish priests who could officially declare someone to be clean and fit to live in society. And so what Jesus is doing here is he puts the lepers' faith to the test. Because he's asking them to act as though they were already healed. Go and show yourselves. And it was as they obeyed that command that it happened. They were acting on the word of Jesus. They were stepping out in faith. You know, sometimes we think that faith is just something that we believe with our minds. You know, that faith is just certain ideas about God that we give assent to or that we agree on. Or maybe we think that faith is just a warm feeling toward God. But in the Bible, faith is active. It has arms and legs and it does things. You know, like Abram back in Genesis 12, you know, when God commanded him to leave the country he was in. And obeying God, he was going to a land he did not know. And it's a faith of obedience there. And that's what Abram was commended for. It often means taking some risks to do God's word. But faith is actually a way of life. It's not just a system of belief. It's action. Hebrews 11 also speaks of faith in this way, saying that by faith, Abram obeyed God's command, not only to leave his home and country, but later to take his only son Isaac up to Mount Moriah, where it appeared he was to be sacrificed. That took faith. And Abraham did it. He went through to that point where God stopped him, fully trusting God. And so God was testing Abraham's faith here. And in the Bible, faith is taking risks to do the word of God. Well, these lepers had faith when they did what Jesus commanded here. I mean, they were already on their way to the priest when they were healed. And so faith requires obedience to God's word. But we need to be careful here. You see, if faith is nothing more than just obedience to the law, then it can become just a long list of do's and don'ts, just a dead mechanical following of the rules. And so the good actions of faith can turn into a bunch of religious obligations, you know. Even good things like prayer before meals or a daily Bible reading, a church attendance, preaching sermons. All good actions, but they can become just a bunch of oughts and musts and shoulds where doing the law replaces God and when rules come before relationship. Maybe that's what happened with these lepers. 9 of them anyway. It says, as they went, they were cleansed. But even though they were miraculously healed, they just kept right on going, doing the command under obedience to the law. And so maybe for them, faith really only meant obedience to the Jewish laws for cleansing. And so these lepers, 9 of them, kept going to show themselves to the priest. But one leper turns back. Look at him. He's praising God at the top of his voice here. He's throwing himself on his face before Jesus, thanking him with all his heart. He came back to worship. And that's what thanksgiving really is. Turning back to praise God and thank Jesus with all our heart. And isn't that why we're here this morning? To sing songs of praise, to offer gifts of thanks, to pray prayers of thanksgiving. To do what the psalm writer says, to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. You know, the great reformer Martin Luther had a one-sentence definition for worship. He called it the 10th leper turning back. The other 9, well, they got their healing, but only the 10th man was truly healed, in the full sense of the word. I mean, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way, your faith has made you well." And the Greek word that's used here for well or whole here means both healed and saved. So this one leper had been made whole both physically and spiritually here. He had come into relationship with Jesus. And spiritual healing is more important than physical. And so Jesus here declares the leper's salvation, the healing of the whole person, body and soul. And that's what the other 9 missed out on. They had the blessing of healing, but they missed the blessing of wholeness in their lives. They had the faith of obedience to the law, but it was incomplete because it didn't issue in thanksgiving. You know, we can do all the requirements of the law. We can say the prayers, we can sing the songs, we can give our tithes, we can show up at meetings, even go on mission trips, but without thankful worship, we can't have a relationship with God. Someone has said that the deepest theological concept is not the doctrine of the incarnation. It's not the theories of atonement. It's not the arguments for the existence of God. The deepest theological concept is thankfulness. Because to know God is to thank Him. Gratitude and thankfulness to God is really a doorway to relationship with Him. It's acknowledging who He is. And it puts us in a rightful place before God, which is having a grateful heart, being thankful for all He's done. I know I find that the more I come to know God, the more my prayers and my worship are filled with thankfulness as I come to realize more and more who He is and what He's done. All He's done, all He's going to do. So it's in an attitude of gratitude that we really encounter God. And we draw near then to experience Him as we express our thanks. As writer Mark Buchanan says, it's on the front of your bulletin today, he says, being thankful and experiencing the power and presence of Jesus Christ are tightly entwined. And he says, as we practice thankfulness, we experience more of God's transforming grace. So thankfulness is a window that God's love and grace shine through in our lives. And like the 10th leper here, it's really only a thankful heart that can come near to Christ, receive the blessing of true Christian wholeness. And the other 9 stood at a distance, it says, and they didn't draw near to worship or to experience transforming communion with Jesus. And so cultivating hearts of thankfulness to God is something very vital to our spiritual wholeness, because thanksgiving doesn't just look back at the blessings that we've received. It opens a door to all the blessings that lie ahead as well, to salvation. So here we are today, worshiping. Maybe you've been healed in some way. Maybe a prayer has been answered. Maybe you've been trying to be obedient to God's word this week, but right now it's time to turn back and to give glory and praise and thanks to God. So I think more than we ever knew it, Psalm 92 verse 1 is right. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. So we're going to thank the Lord in song and music as the worship team comes now to lead us, and then after that, we'll be remembering God's goodness to us as we share communion together. And then I'd just like to offer a brief opportunity for a few of you, if you'd like, to just share some personal expressions of thanks. So let's join our voices together as we sing these songs of praise.